Indeed we will give thanks unto him. Praise God. Shall we turn this morning to 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. 1 Chronicles 16. Let us begin with verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise. This is the season of Thanksgiving, and there are many who rejoice and who give thanks for the natural bounty that God has given. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But today, I want to notice two major attributes of God for which we are instructed here to give thanks. As we see in verse 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then, secondly, his mercy. Give thanks because his mercy endureth forever. This really is a duo or a tandem of terms that is found a number of times in the scripture. For example, Psalm 22:6 says it this way, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In Psalm 25:7, we read, according to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. Then as we had a few weeks ago in the messages, I will make all my goodness pass before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That, of course, the words of God to Moses there in Mount Sinai. I want to notice a little bit about the context of this psalm that David has written. If you back up to verse 7, you find out, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. On that day is a declaration of the day when David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. We must understand that David had tried to do this some time before, but the children of Israel simply did not follow God's instruction, and they actually tried to move the ark on a cart the way the Philistines had done. And then as we read there in the scripture, the oxen shook that cart, and Uzzah, a man by the name of Uzzah, was afraid that it was going to be shaken off, and he reached out and grabbed the ark, and the scripture says that God smote him there for his error. David was tremendously disturbed, and as the meaning of the word is, disappointed or displeased, actually means he was angry with the Lord because he had made this particular breach. But evidently, David began to search the scriptures. Someone began to try and find out why this great tragedy has happened. And so as a result of that, they then moved the ark the way that God intended for it to be moved. And that is on the shoulders of the Levites. And so it did come into the city of Jerusalem. There was great rejoicing and David praising the Lord because of that. And so, as we read here in verse 7, then on that day, the day that they rejoiced, the day that the ark came to them, then David had written this psalm. And you will notice at the outset in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. And I'm sure their hearts are absolutely filled with gratitude because God has finally brought the ark into the city of Jerusalem. So give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. You will notice it centers around what God has done, the things that the Lord has accomplished. Verse 9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Those wondrous works included the fact that He slew Uzza. There are so many things that we must recognize in regard to the power of God in our lives. But notice verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. I think this is exactly what they did after Uzza had been slain. Someone began to seek the Lord. Someone began to try and to find out why this had happened, and God gave to them the answer. Let us go down now to verse 34. This is the conclusion of this psalm that David has written, and it is somewhat of a summation. And again, I want to emphasize these two terms that we see here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We must have an individual and a personal understanding of the goodness and the mercy of God if we are going to give thanks. We find it here in this psalm. David is praising God. He is giving thanks unto God because he now understands the goodness and the mercy of God. It is to the degree that we understand such goodness. It is to the degree that we understand and have experienced His mercy that we are able to give thanks unto the Lord. It is not just a matter of going through the motions and giving lip service. This is something that must be a result of the heart, where that we truly know what we're giving thanks for. And so our first encounter, our first introduction to the goodness of God is, of course, the day that we were saved, the day that we were born again. But Romans 2:4 expresses it this way. Paul asks the question, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's our first introduction to the goodness of God. He led us to repentance. Now we know, and there are many that have testified of the things that they had to go through, and some of them were tremendous hardships, but it was actually the goodness of God because it led them to repentance. This is where we begin to understand the ways of God and the grace of God, as we will see here presently. And so I want to notice today that goodness is the very character of God. Goodness comes only from God. I'm sure you remember the narrative in Matthew 19 when a man came to Jesus and he said, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And so goodness emanates only from God. That's what we must learn. There are many things that are termed good in this life, in this world, but only that which comes from God is actually good. And we begin to understand that goodness as we continue on in our experience. And so this thanksgiving for God's goodness must go beyond initial salvation. God's goodness extends to us far beyond just bringing us to repentance. There is a whole lifetime of discovering the very goodness of God. James 1:17 says it this way, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Only God can give good gifts. But James takes us a little further here, because he says every good gift and perfect gift is from above, comes from the Father of lights. Our experience with the Lord, again, goes far beyond just repentance of evil and ungodliness. God wants us to understand and to experience the goodness of His fatherhood. Sadly, there are many Christians in our day that really do not have a revelation or experience of the fatherhood of God. But when we do, we understand that our Father gives good gifts. Now, there are just so many of them. In Luke 11:13, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" The Holy Ghost is a good gift as he pours out that wonderful power, and many have experienced the dynamite of the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't do a thing in the world to earn it or to buy it. The Holy Ghost is a gift, and many have experienced that wonderful anointing whereby they spoke with other tongues, and that gift is given to them for the rest of their lives, for eternity. God gives good gifts, and that is just the beginning. There are so many other good gifts that our Father will give unto us. It is these gifts that prompt us, indeed motivate us to give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord because he is good. We know the goodness of God by experience, and indeed we respond in kind, so to speak, with our praise and rejoicing in the Lord. Now you'll notice that James tells us here that our Father, there is no shadow of turning, there is no changing. What a wonderful blessing for us to understand the goodness of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He's not going to treat us one way one day and then something else another day. He is God. He is indeed the same. And so there is no shadow of change with him. And his very purpose as a father is to continue to give us good gifts. And then we are to give thanks for his mercy. We know, of course, that mercy and divine grace are used simultaneously. We use them the same words. They're a little bit different. As we have pointed out, mercy is especially used whenever wrongdoing is concerned, and there's certainly enough room for that in our world. But mercy and grace are relatively the same. It is the favor that God has given unto us. I love the verse there that Jeremiah told us about in Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. We are learning that more and more and more in our lives. It's not our own merit. It's not the wonderful care that we have taken or the defenses that we have set up. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And then those beautiful words again that we had a few weeks ago in Exodus 33:19, when Moses was in the mount with the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so the question arises here, does God show his grace and his mercy to some and not to others? And that's absolutely the truth. God does show grace and mercy to some, and he does not show it to others. The difference is us. The difference is whether men are ready to receive and will receive the grace and the mercy of God. Scripture says it this way, he giveth grace to the humble. That means before we can receive the grace of God, we must experience the humility. And as we have often said, humility is not just people saying, well, I'm humble, or trying to act like they're humble. It's when God sees the attitude of humility and absolute dependence on the Lord, that is when he is able to pour in the grace of God. And again, I say that the more that we experience that mercy or that grace, the more we are able to give thanks unto the Lord because of it. We are motivated by that. And then it is genuine, it is real, and indeed it is powerful. And God, of course, is most assuredly impressed with it. I want to turn to Psalm 25 for a commentary on this particular grace or this mercy of which we speak today. Psalm 25. There are a great number of the Psalms which speak of the goodness and the grace of God, but let us go to Psalm 25 and verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. This is the cry of one who is needy. This is the one who will receive and indeed has received of the grace of God. That's the only way that we ever receive grace is when we acknowledge and recognize the need and indeed cry out for it. And so remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. This again takes us beyond just the initial salvation, the initial repentance, the initial matter of God forgetting our transgressions, as we'll see here in just a moment. Loving kindnesses are really a wonderful expression of the riches of His grace. And it will take the rest of our lives in order to experience the fullness of His kindnesses toward us, or indeed the riches of His grace. And so remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. Notice once again, they have been ever of old. His mercy endureth forever. It's not going to run out. It is eternal as God is. And so there is no worry about the grace or the mercy indeed being there for us. Then verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Only the mercy of God can cause him to do that. We know it's because that he poured out all of that wrath upon Christ. Because of that, he can show mercy, does show mercy unto us. And so, as the psalmist says here, don't remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. God has honored that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God doesn't hold our past against us. And so we find out that his mercies really, as we read in another place, his mercies are renewed every morning. We must experience them. We must indeed have them in our own lives as God pours out such grace upon us. And so you will notice, and don't remember my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. What is that goodness to us? The very fact that God implanted the very life of Christ in us. He remembers us because Christ is in me. He remembers us because there is a new beginning. He doesn't concentrate on the past. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and we glory in that. When we get a revelation of that, I guarantee you, we will give thanks unto God because it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. That is who he is. That is his character. The very goodness of God, and there is none good but God, according to what Jesus said. So good and upright is the Lord. Then I want to emphasize this next portion, because this is a part of that glorious grace. Not only did he remove us from our transgressions and set us completely free, but you will notice here, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God has so much teaching to do in our lives. After we have been forgiven, after we've come to the Lord, after we have in part received his wonderful gift, so to speak, God has so much to teach us. We read in the New Testament there in Titus that grace is actually a teacher. And what a wonderful teacher that the divine grace of God is. As we read, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Understand, the grace of God has appeared to all men. God has offered the grace of God to everyone that has ever been in this world. But All have not received it. All have not come to that place of humility where God can truly give the grace unto the humble. But the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Then we read this, teaching us. It's divine grace that teaches us. It's the mercy of God that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All of these are wonderful, wonderful blessings of divine grace. Notice verse 9 here in our psalm. The meek will he guide in judgment or in decisions. The meek is simply another way of saying the humble. If we are willing to submit ourselves under God's hand and God's authority to accept his instruction, we find that he will guide us in these ways. The meek will he guide in judgment. The one who will listen to him. That's exactly what David did in the very beginning after they made that miserable error with Uzzah. Someone went back and sought the instruction of the Lord. And God honored that. And he told them exactly what to do. And rejoicing is something that really followed it. And so the meek he will guide in judgment. Notice this one. The meek will he teach his way. God will teach the meek God's way. He will lead us in his way. I love that verse there in Job where it says that he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The reason God knows the way that we take is because he chose it for us. That's his way. And so it is the meek who accepts and experiences his way. So the meek will he teach his way. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, such as keep his covenant and his testimony. We are told that goodness and mercy and truth are all locked up in the same package. This is why it is so important for us to adhere, to listen to the word of God, to his testimonies, in order that we might understand and know these wonderful things. We must learn all these paths if we would truly give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and indeed for his grace and his mercy. It is imperative that we understand by experience these traits if we are genuinely going to give. I want to close with an example of a man who did exactly that. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians 12. We remember this story of Paul who had the thorn in the flesh. And as we find out, he besought the Lord three times that it might be removed. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. Here we see again the goodness of God. God would not allow him to be exalted above measure because that would take him out of the realm, out of the path to receive the grace of God. If we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, we are in trouble. Because the grace of God is not able to reach us. And so Paul says, lest I should be exalted of measure through the abundance of the revelations. All of these glorious revelations God had given to him, there was most certainly the possibility that he would be puffed up and conceited and arrogant and independent of God. And so in God, in all of his goodness, decided, and it was God's decision, he decided to allow the enemy to come in and to give him this thorn in the flesh. So there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Again, it was the goodness of God that did that at this point. And so it was God who allowed these things. We don't know what that thorn was. There's much speculation and wonder, perhaps his eyes or other things. The thing is, it was indeed from Satan. God allowed Satan to come in and to buffet him, and apparently for the rest of his life. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul prayed three times, and yet God didn't remove it. And some might accuse the Apostle Paul of not having enough faith. But that's not what we read here in these verses. That's not the context of these verses. God did answer him. He just didn't answer him by healing him. He just didn't answer him by removing the thorn. But this is where we come to the wonder of divine grace and what we must understand and be able to give thanks for the grace of God. You will notice he besought him three times, but in verse 9, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God has his ways of orchestrating our lives where that we really do come to depend on the grace of God. We must know what we're talking about when we say that his mercy or his grace endures forever. It cannot just be lip service or something that we have heard or read out of the scripture. It is something that God must make real in my own life, where I absolutely know that his grace is sufficient for me. We have stated often that the grace of God is not simply a term, unmerited favor to the undeserving. The grace of God is an absolute power. That's the only way that Paul was able to continue on. That's the only way that this man continued here without giving up in despair. The grace of God sustained him. And I am persuaded beyond a doubt we are learning the same things in our lives today. His grace is sufficient for thee. But more importantly is our attitude. Notice continue in verse 9. "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distress is for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." These are the lessons of the grace of God. I want to notice here, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory." That's just an advanced form of thanksgiving. It's not just giving of thanks. He is hilarious about it. He is actually glorying in the fact that God has let this thorn in the flesh remain, not because he loves to suffer, but here is why he took such pleasure. In verse 10, "When I am weak, then am I strong." We only learn the strength of God when our own strength is gone. And God has his way. It's the goodness of God that leads us in such a path as this. Only God's grace is sufficient in times like this. And so I say again today that we must understand we can only give thanks for his goodness and his mercy when we understand these attributes of God by experience. And that is through the things that we go through even today. And so let us indeed give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth.